The hour of 9 a.m. having arrived, we will call the meeting to order. We do not quite have a quorum yet. As soon as we do, we'll officially call the meeting to order. On the agenda today, our meeting time is from 9 until 11, and I realize there'll be some members leaving that are on Ways and Means, so we'll be going to Ways and Means at 10:15. So with that, committee legislative assistant will note the roll, and we've got a very, very busy week this week. And today what we're going to do is we're going to have House Research present the A11-0140 amendment. And for the folks that are here and for members, we are not talking about the property tax division report. That is not before us. What we have before us are the other tax items that are being proposed here. So we will talk later about what we're looking at for the week, but as for right now, we are looking at the A11-0140 amendment. We have with us from House Research Pat Dalton and Nina Manzi. So if you could proceed, whoever would like to start, state your name for the record and who you represent, please, and then we will get started with hearing the tax portions other than the division report.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Nina Manzi from the House Research Department. I will start with the individual income tax article 1 of the omnibus bill. The first group of sections are Representative Mahoney's bill, providing for a portion of income tax withholding to be set aside and dedicated for the Minnesota Science and Technology Authority and the various funds proposed in that bill. The difference between what's in the omnibus bill and what was in Representative Mahoney's bill is that the omnibus bill reserves income tax withholding revenues of a total of $7 million over each biennium rather than $25 million per year. But otherwise, the language is the same. That goes through, section 10. I'm not going to talk in any more detail about that since we discussed it just the other day. Section 11 relates to restoring income tax reciprocity with the state of Wisconsin. After the hearing that we had on the most recent bill that Representative Davids authored, the Department of Revenue suggested that they needed authority to share data with the state of Wisconsin to conduct a new income tax reciprocity benchmark study. The Commissioner of Revenue has standing authority and statute to share data with other states for purposes of administering the tax laws. But since we don't currently have a reciprocity agreement in effect with Wisconsin, that authority would not apply because a new study would not be administering the existing tax laws. So Section 11 is new language that you haven't seen before that would simply give the Commissioner the authority to do that data sharing with the state of Wisconsin for a new study. Section 12 is a subtraction for taxable income for individuals, which would allow an ongoing deduction for contributions of food inventory by S corporations, partnerships, and sole proprietorships under the same rules that apply permanently to C corporations. This was House File 505 of Representative Davids. This is a provision that has been extended several times under the federal law, and Minnesota has conformed to the federal extension for tax year 2010 and House File 79. This section would make it so that Minnesota always allowed the more generous treatment regardless of what happened at the federal level. There is language in there that would make sure that these S corporations, partnerships, and sole proprietors weren't deducting this amount twice in the years in which the federal deduction was as generous as what's proposed at the state level. And this is for, I suppose I didn't say that, this is for charitable contributions of food inventory. Section 13 provides a reduction in the individual income tax rates. The reduction would be phased in over 3 years, starting in tax year 12, and would apply only to the first two rates, the current 5.35% rate and 7.05% rate. The rates would drop to 5.25 and 6.85% in tax year 12, The bottom rate would further drop in tax year 13 to 5.15, and in tax year 14, the rates would be 4.75, 6.75, and the top rate of 7.85% would remain unchanged. There's a table in the bill summary that shows you what the income tax brackets are for tax year 11 for the bottom rate and the middle rate. I want to take a minute to point this out to you and to point out that the brackets shown in the summary, once, I guess you don't have the summary yet, but the summary will be available later on this morning. But what I want to point out to you is that the brackets that appear in the bill language and in the statute are the income tax brackets as they existed in tax year 2000, which was the last time that the rates were changed. The next section of statute, which does not appear in the bill, provide for those brackets to be indexed each year for inflation. So the brackets that appear in the statute aren't the brackets that are in effect now. They're the brackets that were in effect 12 years ago. And they go on being adjusted each year. So if you look on the Department of Revenue's website or on the House Research website, there's a section that shows what the brackets are for the current year, and they'll also appear in the summary. For, as an example, since you don't have the summary with you, let me just look at the bill. And for married couples filing jointly, the bill shows that the bottom rate of 4.75%, which will take effect in tax year 14, applies on the first $25,680 of Minnesota taxable income. Well, through adjustment for inflation, that figure has increased to $33,770 for tax year 11, and it goes on being indexed for inflation each year. And there have been proportionate changes in all of the other brackets that appear in the statute. Section 14, I'm sorry, one more thing about the rate change. You see that it's phased in over 3 years. The rates for the third and following years, tax year 14, are what appear in the section of statute, and then the effective date is where the phase-in provision shows up in the language, in case you're looking for where that is. Okay, section 14 is the bill that Representative Bills introduced that the committee heard a few days ago that would increase each of the rates of the research credit by 2.5 percentage points. So it would be 12.5% of the first $2 million of qualifying research and 5% of the excess over $2 million. Section 15 is Representative David's House File 820 relating to income tax reciprocity. This would eliminate the Commissioner of Revenue's authority to terminate reciprocity agreements and direct the Commissioner to begin negotiating a new agreement with Wisconsin with the objective of entering into an agreement, hopefully for tax year 2012. And the agreement would have to specify that any revenue loss would be repaid to the state of Minnesota in the same fiscal year in which it occurred. Section 16 amends the alternative.
Excuse me, Ms. Manzi. We do now have a quorum. We'll officially call the meeting to order. Representative Downey moves the minutes of March 10th. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, if you would please continue, Ms. Manzi.
Section 16 is an alternative minimum tax subtraction for the deduction for contributions of food inventory that I talked about a little bit earlier. It's necessary to also have a subtraction under the alternative minimum tax so that affected taxpayers don't gain the subtraction under the regular tax only to have it cause them to shift onto the alternative minimum tax. Section 17 is the income tax reciprocity benchmark study that was in a bill introduced by Representative Davids, and it would use information from Minnesota and Wisconsin 2011 tax returns to determine the number of people in each state who work in the other state, how much money they make, and what effect there would be on each state's tax revenue if a reciprocity agreement were implemented between the two states. There would be a report to the legislature on the results of the study in March of 2013. And that is the end of the individual income tax article.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Pat Dalton with House Research, and I'll take you through Article 2, the sales tax article. Section 1 eliminates the accelerated remittance schedule for every month for sales tax for every month except for June. This was the provision that was passed last year to deal with cash flow, and so that's being repealed. Sections 2 through 6 all deal with conformity with the streamlined sales and use tax agreement. Section 2 takes ringtones out of the definition of taxable telecommunication services, so these will now be exempt. Sections 3 and 4 relate to codifying the transitional period for sales tax on services as it relates to rate changes. Since there's no rate changes, this has absolutely no effect on law right now. Sections 5 and 6 deal with some sourcing requirements for taxes. There were some changes made to the sourcing requirements in streamlined sales tax as it relates to direct mail. And it doesn't change how we source advertising and promotional materials, but what it does do is it simplifies the sourcing rules for what are called other direct mail, which is things like billing statements and things like that. Section 7 is making the capital equipment sales tax exemption an upfront exemption effective beginning June 30th, 2013. Section 8 expands the sales tax exemption for water used for local governments for water used directly in providing fire protection. This is as it was written in the bill that was heard in this committee. The exemption is retroactive to June 30th, 2007, but no refunds are paid if a local government already paid the sales tax. Section 9 relates to the sales tax refund provisions, and it's just cleanup for making the capital equipment an upfront exemption. And Section 10 is a repealer of the penalty and safe harbor provisions related to the early remittance of sales tax, which was eliminated in Section 1.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joel Michael from House Research, I'll go through Article 3, which is a special taxes article. This article converts the tax on moist snuff from a percentage of wholesale price to a weight-based tax. Section 1 is the definition of what moist snuff is that's currently taxed along with all other tobacco products, cigars, chewing tobacco, and so forth. So this carves out a separate definition of that category of tobacco products. Section 2 is a companion provision to that adds it to the adds moist snuff as a separate category to the list of tobacco products. Section 3 is the operative provision that exempts moist snuff from the 35% wholesale tax, and it's important to keep in mind that this tax is effectively doubled by the health impact fee. And then secondly, imposes instead a $1.45 per ounce tax on the moist snuff. Sections 4 and 5 are and 6 are reporting. Section 4 is the comparable provision for the use tax, and then sections 5 and 6 are reporting provisions for wholesalers of moist snuff. Article 4, the miscellaneous provision, Section 1 is Representative Garofalo's bill that adds the requirement to the tax incidence study that it include information on the distribution of federal taxes that Minnesota residents pay. Section 2 modifies the state general tax by reducing it by $50 million per year for the portion that applies to commercial and industrial property. Not the reduction would not benefit cabin properties, which is why you see that the levy is broken into two pieces now. There'd be a separate commercial and industrial levy amount and a separate seasonal recreational property levy amount. Section three is the sort of companion provision to that. That right now the levy is apportioned 95.5, and of course now it'll be based on a dollar amount for each of the two separate levies. Section four includes appropriations for a couple of the administrative provisions in the bill. The first is a $115,000 appropriation in 12 and $215,000 in 13 for the reciprocity benchmark study. And subdivision two is the additional appropriation for the expanded cost of the tax incidence study for including federal information. It's $30,000 over the biennial. Those are the provisions of the bill.
All in favor say aye. Oh, no. Let's back up. Maybe if we could get Ms. Manzi and Ms. Dalton back at the table here. If I could just outline the week for us so we kind of know where we're at. Today's meeting was simply to have the overview. We will be meeting Thursday at our regular time only, not in the afternoon or evening. And then Friday we're looking at, what was it, nine to 5 in there someplace, and then we'll come back Saturday at 10 till midnight or 1 or whatever. We will be voting on a final bill by midnight or 1 o'clock on Saturday nights. Well, no, I don't do Sunday, so it'd be midnight. It'd be midnight Saturday night. So with that, what we will do here, if there are questions, maybe we could get a chair. Okay, yeah, I'll tell you what, let's change this a little bit. Let's have Cynthia go through the spreadsheet from the table there, if you could, and Ms. Schill to go through the spreadsheets. And then we'll open up for questions. And members, this is not the property tax division report. That'll be worked on. Folks that are on the property tax division know what their schedule is. And so also, members, I'd like to announce that there are a couple items, and I've been pretty particular about this. There are a couple items you'll see that we have not heard. Any items that we have not heard in bill form, we will be hearing at our Thursday meeting. So if there's some items there, we will be hearing testimony on those. We don't want to just put some things in here that we're not going to be hearing. So we will be hearing those issues at that time. So with that, Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, can I comment on the formats for the bill here? You know, my arms aren't long enough to read these things in one continuous. I don't know who came up with this new idea of the way we're supposed to read the bill, but can we have it the normal way we normally have a bill next time? Because I can't reach out that far and I can't see that.
You can't. Well, that's by design, Representative Rukavina.
I imagine it is.
Because there are probably a few things you won't want to see here.
That's
how the copier's printing them out. We'll have to talk to Rules Committee about that. Because you can't, you know, it always does the two-sided thing, and I just want whatever. Yeah, that's, we'll take a look at that.
Mr. Chair, I'm upside down enough without that.
So we're just trying to straighten you up a little bit because it just goes right next to them. Okay, whoever, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Hi, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. We'll be reviewing the taxes portion of the spreadsheet. To start, we have a cover page, and I will quickly review the tax revenue section, and Mr. Schill will review the general fund expenditure changes. To start, the general fund revenues for the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium, and you'll see on this sheet, it's a positive sign, $314,575 million in tax revenue reductions. And I guess I should back up before that the committee has a target in fiscal 12 and 13. It is a reduction of $569.6 million, almost $570 million. So going back up to the tax revenues portions again, there's $314.5 million in tax reductions in the 12 and 13 biennium, and $1,084,000 in tax reductions in the fiscal 14 and 15 biennium. I should point out that in the 14 and 15 biennium, we were, Representative Marcourt has an eagle eye and did notice that there is a formula error in the bottom line for the general total general fund changes. It should be a net change of $149.7 million in, and it should be a negative in fiscal 14 and 15. We will issue another spreadsheet.
I was going to mention that, too.
Okay.
Full credit goes Rep. Marcourt. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, Kathy Schill, House Fiscal. To comment on the general fund expenditures, in fiscal 12 and 13, there would be cost savings of $871.9 million. And in fiscal 14 and 15, there would also be cost savings of approximately $1.2 billion. I will point out that these figures contain some expenditures that Mr. Michael pointed out that fall to the end of the bill, the studies associated with the bill would be reflected on the expenditure side of the spreadsheet. So just so you know, the figures here will not match the division report because the division report doesn't have that language in it.
Okay.
And as Ms. Templin said, we will issue a new summary sheet, but the pages that follow this summary sheet are correct. Total spending, if you take in consideration the general fund revenue changes here plus the general fund expenditure changes, we first start with that forecasted amount in fiscal 12 and 13 of $3.5 billion or so. Then you have a net revenue and expenditure change of $557.3 million, and the total bottom line, and we will have this also reflected on the new version of the spreadsheet, would be $2.96 billion for fiscal 12 and 13. Doing the same for fiscal 14 and 15, you start with the $3.5 billion at the top, do the net revenue changes and expenditure changes of negative $149.7 million, and your total spending in fiscal 14 and 15 will be $3.4 billion.
Mr. Chair, turning the page to the tax revenue sections. Again, now we're on the tax revenue sections, and all the signs are flipped. So if there is a negative sign in the spreadsheet on the tax revenue side, that means there is a revenue reduction. And I should also point out that these estimates are still preliminary. We haven't received all the estimates from the Department of Revenue, so you may see the numbers shift slightly through the week. Starting on line 3, there is an income tax reduction for the lower and the middle rates starting in tax year 12 through tax year 14. The bottom rate in tax year 12 goes from 5.35 to 5.25. In the middle rate is reduced from 7.05 to 6.85. In tax year 13, the bottom rate is reduced from 5.25 to 5.15, and there's no change in the middle rate. And then in tax year 14, the lower rate is 5.15, and it is reduced to 4.75. The middle rate goes from 6.85 down to 6.75. The cost of these changes, or the revenue impact of these changes in fiscal 12 and 13 is $221.3 million, and in fiscal 14 and 15 it's $786.2 million. Moving on to the line between 8 and 9, this is Representative Bill's bill, and it is modifying the R&D, the research and development tax credits, and it's increasing the two tiers for the tax credit allowed. The revenue impact in fiscal 12 and 13 is $71.9 million and $70.6 million in fiscal 14 and 15. In fiscal, in line 9, Representative David's bill, the donation of food inventory, is $650,000 in 12 and 13 and $600,000 in 14 and 15. line 10, the negotiating income tax reciprocity, there is no revenue impact in the way the language is written right now in fiscal 12 and 13 and in fiscal 14 and 15. And that's because the language authorizes the negotiation of an income tax reciprocity agreement. There's no approval of any income tax reciprocity changes in the bill right now. On line 11, this is the dedication of the income tax withholding for science and technology, Representative Mahoney's bill, House File 102. This, as Ms. Manzi described, caps the dedication of income tax withholding in fiscal 12 and 13 at $7 million, and it is the same revenue impact for the TAILs. So for the individual income and corporate tax changes, there is a total of $300.8 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $864.4 million in fiscal 14 and 15. Moving on to sales tax, House File 633, this is Representative Benson's bill, the repeal of the refund requirement for capital equipment. This would be effective in fiscal 14, so there is no revenue impact in the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium. There's a revenue impact of $146.4 million in fiscal 14 and 15. Line 19, Representative Anderson's bill. This is an exemption for the water used for public safety purposes. This is $180,000 in 12 and 13 and $115,000 in fiscal 14 and 15. A Representative Howe's bill, the repeal of date changes on line 20. This is the repeal of the date changes that were imposed for June acceleration payments because of cash flow reasons last year. It was a bill brought forward by Representative Solberg. This is, again, included in the omnibus bill, and this has no fiscal impact. Representative Sarah Anderson's bill, House File 1005, this is streamlined sales tax conformity language. There's no revenue impact. And then on line 22, there is a $410,000 revenue impact with the exemption of ringtones to be in compliance with the governor. Excuse me, to be in compliance with the SSTA. And for total revenue impact in fiscal 12 and 13 of $590,000 and a revenue impact of $146.9 million in fiscal 14 and 15. For the total for sales and use tax changes. Line 27 is a reduction in the state general levy for commercial industrial properties. This excludes cabins again. The total revenue impact in fiscal 12 is $49.9 million in fiscal 12 and 13, sorry, and in fiscal 14 and 15, $66.6 million. Turning the page to page 3 on line 31 and 32, there is a change in the base weight, or a change in the, this is moist snuff, and it's to be based on weight, and it would be taxed at 1.45 per ounce. This raises $8.2 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $19.6 million in 14 and 15. And line 36 and 37 are federal conformity changes, and these changes came from House File 79, and these are for tax year 10 only. And the revenue impact in fiscal 12 and 13 is $18.5 million, and in 14 and 15 there's a revenue reduction of $26.5 million. For total revenue changes in the 12 and 13 biennium of $483.1 million in revenue reductions, excuse me, $314.5 million of revenue reductions in the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium, and $1,084.8 million in revenue reductions in the 14 and 15 biennium.
Madam Chair and members, moving to the expenditure
side of the spreadsheet.
Michelle, yeah. I'm sorry. We are not going to go through the division report today. That will be done at a later time.
Madam Chair and members, I will not go through the division report. I will highlight only the items in the tax bill that are reflected on the expenditure side of the spreadsheet.
Very well. Thank you.
So if you look, we're at pages 4 through 7, and actually the items that I want to point out are on page 7. At the very end of the spreadsheet, under appropriations, on line 61, you can see Representative David's bill, House File 701, the reciprocity benchmark study. The cost is reflected in fiscal 12 and 13 at $330,000. Line 62 represents Representative Garofalo's bill 725 with the tax incident study requirements. And that is a $30,000 cost in fiscal 12 and 13. And House File 633 is on line 63 with Representative Benson's repeal of refund for capital equipment. And that has no impact in fiscal 12 and 13, but actually is a cost savings in fiscal 15 of $140,000.
Madam Chair, that $140,000 in fiscal 15 is savings from salary. That would with the repeal of the refund requirement, that eliminates a staff position. With that repeal eliminated, that staff person is no longer needed.
Very good. Proceed.
Line 61 gives you the subtotal for appropriations. That with the changes, appropriations would be $8.5 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $7.9 million in fiscal 14 and 15. Madam Chair, that concludes the presentation of the spreadsheet.
All right. Thank you both, Ms. Schill and Ms. Templin. So with that, we've gone through the materials, and we'll open it up for any technical questions members may have on the proposal. All right, seeing none, then the committee is adjourned until Thursday at 10:15. Thank you.